We have today a class about Pesach. I hope it will be quiet all through the class. We just had the siren a few minutes ago, but we'll continue anyhow. I'm in a place where I can continue. Okay. So we have six things that we have to remember all the time. The first in the list is the days that we came out of Mitzrayim. The Torah tells us, Zachor et hayom asher hotzeticha me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha. Remember the day that I took you out of Egypt, all the days of your life. And the question is, why is it so essential to remember the days that we came out of Mitzrayim? So let's see what took place. What is the meaning of coming out of Mitzrayim? The first stage that we'll do is just, let's see what the facts were. What happened there that requires that we will remember it every day of our life. So the first thing is that in Mitzrayim, we were chosen as a nation. When Hashem sent Moshe for the first time to Pharaoh to ask him to release the Jewish people, to let them go, he tells them that he requests that he will take out, and I'm quoting in Hebrew, et bni bechori Israel, my son, my firstborn son, Israel. Obviously, they were chosen from all nations, and they are considered the firstborn child of Hashem, the chosen nation. That's the first thing. Second, the process of coming out of Egypt was via the 10 plagues, as we know, and the splitting of the Red Sea. These miracles that happened there showed us openly different principles of belief, the basic principles of belief. Without going into details, we did it in the past, just to mention quickly, it taught us that there is a God. It taught us that God is involved in this way, in this world, the concept of hashgacha, meaning that he, so to speak, observes what happens here and reacts to it, that he cares about what's happening here, and that he is capable of doing anything and everything. We also learned that we have a divine providence that differs from the divine providence of all other nations, because while the plagues affected all the Egyptians, the Jewish people were not affected. So different basics, I would say the basics of Emunah, were learned in Egypt. That's part of the process of the redemption of Egypt. And those are principles that we have to live with always, every day, so we have to remember it. And the way we learned it was via miracles that took place. And miracles teach us things that it's hard to come to when things are conducted in what we call derech hateva, in the natural way. It's like taking off the masks from creation and showing Hashem. It's clear and it's open. When the world runs according to the laws of nature, Hashem is not so obvious. His presence in this world is not so obvious. When he performs miracles, we start to see that nature is also a miracle. So it's another very basic principle that is essential to know and believe in. But there is more to it. We are told that Mitzrayim, the exile there, the Egyptian exile, and the redemption from Mitzrayim are the root of all exiles and all redemptions. Meaning, Mitzrayim the slavery and the redemption are like the root, the DNA of all other exiles and redemptions. All are included in what happened in Mitzrayim. They are in potential already there, and they play out all along history. So wherever we are historically, we are connected to what happened in Egypt. We are, in our time and age, things come into reality that were already in the root when we were in Egypt. So by learning about Mitzrayim and understanding what took place there, we know how to interpret, understand the times that we are at, because it's one and the same, even though it expresses itself in different ways. But it's going even further than this. There is a famous pasuk in Psalms. We say it every day in Ashrei, starting with the letter Zion. We know Ashrei is in alphabetic order. The verse that starts with Zion is Zecher asa lenifleotav. Chanun verachum Hashem. Hashem may left a remnant to his miracles. Hashem is merciful and compassionate. What's the connection between part number one of the verse and part number two? So the way it is explained is the following. That Hashem made miracles at the time that we were in Egypt. But every year, when holidays are coming about, like Pesach is coming, the same potential, spiritual potential, that was there at the time of Egypt when we witnessed the miracles, is in potential now here too, at the days of the holiday, and we can access it. Meaning, what happened in Egypt is not a one-time thing, it's an ongoing thing. Three times a year, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. What happened in Egypt continues, different stages of it, of our exile and redemption from Egypt, are here again, and we can access it. And Hashem made it in this way because Chanun v'rachum Hashem, because of his compassion. Because it might be that we don't deserve now to see what the people in Egypt saw. Hashem dealt with them in a totally miraculous way from the time that the redemption started, and soon we'll see that even at the time of the affliction, even at the time of the exile, Hashem dealt with us in a supernatural way. And we saw things that we never saw since, definitely not in such a concentration and in all areas, and being that we might not be on the level to experience it today. Hashem gave us the ability to access what they felt and recognized and realized and internalized at the time of Egypt every year when these holidays come. It's based on another pasuk as well. There is a pasuk in Kohelet, Shlomo HaMelech says, Zchor bor'acha b'yimei bechurotecha. Remember your creator. At the times that you are young, bachur is a young lad, yimei bechurotecha, the times when you are young, before you become old, meaning when you are in your full power, full strength, physically, emotionally, spiritually, you utilize all of it to serve Hashem. Don't wait till you will be weak on many different levels and won't be able to accomplish what you can accomplish when you are young. That's the plain interpretation. But it is explained also based on the Midrash that Yemei Bechurotecha, the days that you were young, the verb Bechurotecha is from the root Bet Chet Resh, Livcho, to choose as well. Okay, so Bechurotecha, the time that you are young, but it also, the same root means the time you were chosen. Okay? These are times that you were chosen. Pesach is stage number one. Shavuot is stage number two when we receive the Torah. And Sukkot is the 4 years in the desert where we learned the Torah, internalized it, and made it who we are. Okay? So these are stages where we saw, where we experienced the fact that we are chosen. Until today, we can feel this chosenness. Our souls are open to the revelations that the people had at the time when it took place, and we have to pay attention to it. Because even though it's here, it's in potential, and it's based on our preparation and opening ourselves to it, that we will also experience it. So as we see, coming out of Egypt, the Exodus, Pesach is not a one-time event. It's a yearly event. And in order to get what we can get from those days, we have to know and understand and internalize what happened in Egypt. And that's why we have an obligation to remember it. We have to remember it all the time, more than this. The Chidushei Harim says the following. He says, in every generation, we come out of Mitzrayim in a different way. The same way that times were dark in Egypt. Hashem was hidden. It was hard physically. It was even harder spiritually because Hashem was very hidden. We were among people that totally denied the existence of Hashem or his involvement in this world. And to remain who we are, or who we are supposed to be in such an environment was very, very difficult, right? So we worked it through eventually, and we came out of Egypt, continued to work it through till the receiving of the Torah, right? And continued even further and 4 years of the desert. So this is what coming of Egypt was. It was a time where we faced spiritual challenges, and we overcome them. He says, every generation, there is another kind of character trait or reality that hides from us the truth. And we are called in every generation to come out of Egypt in the way that will overcome the challenge of that time. And he says, not only in every generation, but every year when we come to Pesach, the darkness that we face is not the same as last year. We are not the same. The reality is not the same. The challenges are of a different kind. And we have to utilize the days of Pesach in order to make sure to enlighten the reality, to push aside the darkness and create light out of the darkness. The reality that we can relate very, very strongly to in these days, right? When we are basically in a similar reality, right? Physically and spiritually. So it's essential and important to learn about Mitzrayim. So I want to look at a few aspects of the reality of Mitzrayim at the time of exile, and then try to see what was the way that the Jewish people were redeemed in Egypt, because the principles of redemption that applied then apply today too. The details are different. The challenges might be different. Cater to our time and age and what we have to deal with, but the ways that we have to use in order to overcome it, and what can help us intellectually, mentally, spiritually, to be able to accomplish it, can be learned from Mitzrayim. So let's try to examine a little bit what took place in Egypt at the time of the exile first, and then we'll move to the time of redemption. So the facts are very known. The Jewish people were enslaved, not in the very beginning, but At least the last 9 years were very, very difficult in Egypt. It wasn't easy before, too, spiritually for sure. From the very beginning, it was hard. But the last 9 years were also physically very, very difficult. And when it's very, very difficult physically, it affects also the ability to dedicate ourselves fully and completely to spirituality. So we were enslaved to Pharaoh, to his people. We were the lowest caste in Egyptian society. And for 24/7, the men were on the fields building for Pharaoh, buildings that didn't even last. They finished building and it collapsed, and they had to start from the beginning. So it was also psychologically very, very difficult. They didn't feel accomplishing even for Pharaoh anything. This was the reality on the physical level. On the spiritual level, we know that we carry 49 gates of impurity. Of course, this has to be explained because, on the other hand, we know that we didn't change our name and our language and the way we were dressed. Not going into how do we put the two together, but definitely, according to the level of the people at the time, they were in a very, very low place. 49 gates of impurity, and it's also known and famous that Hashem took us out of Egypt hurriedly, because if he would have stayed a little bit more and entered the 50th gate of impurity, he could have not redeemed us anymore. It would have been a new creation if he would have taken us out. We wouldn't be considered anymore a continuity of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We would be totally disconnected from them, cut off from them. So that's the second very, very famous reality of Egypt. So physically and spiritually, very hard. And thank God, the time for redemption came. And as we know, Hashem told Moshe to go to Paro with Aaron and the men from him to let the people go. And Paro said no. 5 times Paro said no. And then he was already ready to send them away, but Hashem hardened his heart. So it took another half a year till Paro was ready to let them go after the 10th plague, at the night of the 10th plague. But for 5 plagues, Hashem made him not be able to send the Jewish people. And we are asking again, why? Couldn't Hashem release them a little bit, a little earlier, when they won't have to run out the last moment before they are in 49 gates of impurity? Could he not harden the heart of Pharaoh so it will be a quicker process? Obviously, there are reasons for all of it, and we have to understand. So that's on one hand. Life in Egypt was very difficult at the time of the exile. On the other hand, there were two positive things, or three, that the Torah mentions at the time of the affliction, before redemption. One, the Torah tells us, and the Torah repeats it, it's written already at the end of Bereshit, the Torah repeats that the Jewish people came down to Egypt. It's the first pasuk in the book of Shemot, the book of exile and redemption, that the Jewish people came down to Egypt, and the Torah mentions the names of the 12 tribes, meaning they had very great people with them, putting the foundation to existence in Egypt. We'll soon go into it a little bit more. So that's something positive. Not only the 12 people, the 70 people who came from the land of Israel to Egypt were all great people, not on the same level as the 12 tribes, but all 70 people were very great people who put a foundation and gave the ability to the Jewish people to survive what they had to go through in Egypt. The other thing that the Torah mentions that is positive in the time of exile is the fact that the Jewish people multiplied in a supernatural way. Even if we just look at the psukim in the Torah, without what our sages in the Oral Law give us, more additional information, but even just the fact that the Jewish people had 6 children at once, right? And multiplied, the Torah says 6 languages of multiplication, and became very, very strong. And they're supernatural, there is no question about it. So there was a lot of darkness, but there was a good basis, foundation that was made by the tribes, the 70 people, And Hashem dealt with us, even though not so openly, because times were very hard, still there were miracles. The third thing that we hear is that we had an unbelievable leadership. The Torah in the first chapter of Humashmo discusses Miriam and Yocheved, the two midwives, and their self-sacrifice for the children of the Jewish people. And from chapter 3, the Torah discusses Moshe and Aaron. So Hashem gave us three leaders of a level that could bring us to the level that we needed to be in order to be able to redeem. So it's like light and darkness together, right? Some things that were very, very difficult, and some that were very positive and special and even supernatural. So what we see is the following, and that's something to keep in mind, that before the major difficulty started, Hashem prepared already what was necessary to prepare in order that the redemption will take place. First, the 12 tribes came with us, and the Midrash tells us, the Torah doesn't tell us only that the 12 sons of Yaakov came with him to Egypt, the Torah mentions the names. And our sages say that the names of the tribes that are written here in the book of Shemot all indicate redemption. And the Torah explains each one of the names as an indicator of redemption, like Reuven, Ra'a Hashem et Oni. Reuven, Re'u, Lir'ot, Hashem saw my difficulties. Shimon, the root is Shama, Hashem listened to me. Levi, it's to accompany. Hashem, so to speak, accompanied me, came to be with me. And so on. The Midrash explains all 12 names as hinting redemption. And the meaning of this Midrash is that before the Jewish people went down to Egypt even, Hashem already planted the seeds of redemption. Meaning it was they were supposed to go down to Egypt because they had to accomplish certain things. But Hashem guaranteed that it will take place in the proper way and that the goal will be achieved. The redemption is already there, right? Hinted. Interestingly enough, the language of the Pasuk is in the present. Ele Shmot B'nei Israel, these are the names of the children of Israel, the children of Yaakov, Habba'im Mitzrayim, who are coming into Egypt. And we are told, because in every exile, today too, they are with us, and in their merit, and because of what they instilled in us, we are capable in our exile to deal with the challenges and will be redeemed. So as we said before, Mitzrayim is the root of all exiles, right? So that's why it's written in the present, and whatever we see that took place in Egypt takes place today too. So we are in darkness, we are enslaved, if not to other nations, to other nations too. But if not to other nations, we are definitely enslaved to the bad inclination in one way or another. There are areas where we are not what we are supposed to be. So we are in a reality of darkness. We don't see Hashem clearly the way the Jewish people saw him at Sinai. So we are in darkness and we have to go out of darkness. But we have to remember that even in Egypt, there were open miracles. And the multiplication of the Jewish nation was supernatural. And by it, Hashem wants to show us that we really do not belong to the world that runs by laws of nature. This world, what we call Olam Hazeh, is the natural reality of all other nations. Their reality is the natural reality. We are governed by the laws of nature. They have a relationship with Hashem that goes via the laws of nature, via angels. We are really a reality that belongs to the world to come. And the world to come is not necessarily after 120, but it belongs to what will be at the time of Mashiach or after the resurrection of the dead. We were put here because we have to correct this world. We have to bring this physical reality to become spiritual as well. We have to take the body and spiritualize it as well, make it ready to belong in the world of spirituality. But that's not our natural place. We are supernatural. And that's another thing that we learn even at the time of exile. If we look in view of this on our time and age, it seems as if it tells us our history. We are spiritually and physically in a very difficult time. But how many miracles do we see daily? It's mind-boggling. We have to work hard here in Israel, not to take it for granted that after there is a siren and after we hear the missiles, right, and the booming, right, that we anticipate to hear that, thank God, nothing happened. But it is an open miracle. Because in other places where the missiles fall, it's not like this. If we compare even what happened already to some American soldiers, planes, and so on, and we compare it to what's happening here, we can't compare, right? There are two planes already that were crashed, American planes, soldiers were unfortunately killed, people were injured in the American army, and thank God, miraculously, it doesn't happen here. Yesterday was a bomb in Bnei Brak, in a place that is so packed with homes and people. And it was a bomb that was spreading all over in many, many small little pieces. And you see open miracles, right? So we know that we are here for a reason and a purpose. Hashem is with us and it leads us towards something. It's not just suffering for the sake of suffering. It's not that Hashem abandoned us. Like in Egypt, it, for whatever reasons that we don't know, takes place. It's a call for us to improve, no question, right? But why exactly this happens now in this particular way, we don't know. And it's definitely very difficult and very dark. But Hashem is with us in his tomb, like in Egypt. Now, why did Hashem do it? That in Egypt, the Jewish people will come spiritually to the 49 gates of impurity before he redeemed them. To the extent that he had to hurry them up, you know, to leave Egypt. No time to wait, right? That's why we eat the masses, there was no time, right? So I saw a beautiful explanation by the Chiddushei Arim, who is the source for all that I'm saying today, right? He says the following. By the fact that we came to the lowest of low and the redeemed, Hashem tells us we will always be redeemed. There isn't such a thing that we will cross the line that makes it impossible to redeem us. Hashem will stop it there. So we should never be discouraged. No matter what's happening, the Jewish nation will stay the nation of Hashem, will continue to exist. And even if things were difficult and we lost people and a lot, we will rebuild ourselves and we'll come to a point of redemption physically and spiritually. So this is also the reason why Hashem hardened the heart of Pharaoh. It seems again as if we are writing the Torah wrote our time history. What happened? One plague, another plague, another plague. The wise people say already, stop it, send them away. Egypt is going to be destroyed. Leave them alone, right? Okay, better to let them go than to destroy Egypt. And Pharaoh continues to be stubborn and says, no. Isn't it what happens now? 12 days, 14 days, right, of such bombing. So much is destroyed already in Iran, in Lebanon. And what do they say? No, we are not going to do it. Right? And they still are stubborn and think that they will win eventually. But we know one thing, the Jewish nation will never be destroyed. This is something we have to go through and learn from it and start a process of redemption, like the Jewish people did in Egypt, and we'll soon discuss it. But there is no possibility, even if you are in the 49th gate of impurity, even if the people who fight us are not ready to give in, are not ready to step down. They still say, no, we shouldn't worry. Hashem will maintain our existence. Now, the Torah says, as we know, that at the 10th plague, the night of Pesach, when Hashem hit all the firstborn, then when that's when Pharaoh finally, right, let the Jewish people go. So who did Hashem hit at the end? The leaders of each family, right? What's the specialty of a firstborn of a bechor? He's the head of the family. If the father passes away, right, the previous generation is gone. Who is taking over? Those who are the firstborn, the oldest, the more experienced, right? When King David describes this plague, he says, Lemakem Mitzrayim bivchorehem. They say it on Shabbat in the Tfilah, it's from Psalms. Lemakem Mitzrayim bivchorehem. He hit the Egyptians via their firstborn, bivchorehem, by hitting the firstborn, the leadership. Isn't it in front of us right now? Right? The leaders are gone. Right? One after the other, one after the other. So we see something very amazing, that the story of Mitzrayim is not a one-time story. The story that takes place now is basically a development, an expression of something that was already hidden and hinted in the exile of Mitzrayim. And being that they went through it before us. And they were able to work it through and make it spiritually, became ready to receive the Torah. So we'll get there too. It's a long process. They were in Egypt for 210 years. We are here for 2,000 years almost, right? But we are heading towards the direction of redemption, and redemption is not a momentarily thing. It's a process, slowly, 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 slowly. As we saw, even before we went into exile, Hashem already prepared the redemption, right? By the tribes coming down, by the miracles of multiplication, right? And it is in every exile. And we can take examples from many exiles that we had. The famous one is that in the same year that the Jewish people of Spain had to leave, and Spain at the time was the center of Jewish life, Torah life, yeshivot, great people, books that were written, right? And they had to leave and were basically destroyed, right? On the same year, Columbus discovered America, and a new place for Jewish life was established. More than this, The Holocaust destroyed Eastern Europe. At the time that the Holocaust took place in Europe, America was a desert in terms of Judaism. Total desert. But Hashem let a few great people escape the war and a new place of flourishing life of Judaism started in America, right? So we see in every exile, the same was after the destruction of the first temple. The Jewish people were taken to Babylon, but the exile took place in a few stages. The first stage was that all the greatest went to Babylon, among them Mordechai and Esther, right? So these people who were the greatest of the Jewish nation established places of learning, established an infrastructure of Jewish life. So when the Messies came, Babel became the place where the Talmud was written. The greatest yeshivot, Sura, Pombedita, Neardea, were developed in Spain. Right? So the same pattern that we find in Egypt, we have all along history. And we have to pay attention to it. We have to remember it because it gives us direction. It gives us the knowledge of the meaning of the times and what it calls upon us to do. So we took a look at the darkness of Egypt, at the times of slavery, at the difficulty. At a certain point, a process of redemption started. So we mentioned things that were of the nature of redemption that were there even at the time of exile. But then the Jewish people prayed to Hashem, cried to Hashem, and he started the process of redemption. So what happened then? The Torah describes the process of redemption in four ways, four expressions. The second of them, the first is the Hotzeiti, I took them out, right? The second is the Hotzeiti, Veitzalti. I saved them from what? From the burden of the Egyptians. Mitachat Sivlot Mitzrayim. A burden in Hebrew is sevel. It's something that one carries and is heavy. Yeah, a person who moves furniture from place to place is called tzabal because he carries from this bowl to carry, right? What does it mean Hashem took us out from the burden of the Egyptians? From what we carried of the Egyptians. So the Chiddush HaRim explains so beautifully that the redemption started with the fact that the Jewish people stopped to tolerate the situation in Egypt. Till then, they carried it on their shoulders. And, you know, they're used to it already, went ahead. And yesterday was like today, and today like tomorrow. That's how it was going on. And, you know, they say in Yiddish that the worm in the radish thinks it has the best life. Everything you are used to, even if it's bitter, get used to. This is your reality. Okay, you go ahead with it, you live with it. This is very dangerous. When people are spiritual in a low place and they accept it, they don't challenge the reality. They don't try to get out of it. That's the depth of exile. So the first stage was that Hashem made them to be impatient with their spiritual reality. He took them out of this stage where they carry the reality and are fine with it. He wanted them to realize that they are the children of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And when they judge themselves, when they do introspection, they look at where they are. They should look at it vis-a-vis where they came from. Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. The first knight feels, I'm okay. There are people who are much less than me. But if he remembers where he came from, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, he realizes the potential he has, and he becomes intolerant to his reality and starts working hard. So this was stage number one in the process of redemption. Obviously, Hashem helped them in the process, the fact that there were so many miracles, the fact that they saw what Hashem showed them, encouraged them to see that they are different and they should be different. So this was one way for the Jewish people to get out, to remember they come from Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, to remember the 70 people who came down to Egypt and who they were, and see what happened over relatively a short period of time. They were in Egypt only for 210 years. Obviously, it was a call to come back to the greatness that they possessed in the past. Now, when the process of redemption started its final stages, Moshe was sent to Pharaoh to warn him, to tell him that plagues will come upon him if he's not changing and sending the Jewish people. At a certain point, Hashem told Moshe, "Bo el Pharaoh, come to Pharaoh, ki ani ichbadeti et libo, because I hardened his heart." It was in the eighth plague. So Hashem tells Moshe, "Bo el Paro, come to Paro, because I hardened his heart." It's a very difficult pasuk. First, if you want to send somebody somewhere, you tell him go. You don't tell him come. Come means come to me, right? Go on a mission. I'm sending you to somebody. It should be go to Paro. Why is it written come to Paro? Second obvious question. Moshe is going to Paro to ask him to free the Jewish people. Hashem tells him, go to ask that he will free them. Why? Because I hardened his heart. If Hashem hardened his heart, of course he's going to say no. So what's the point of going? Right. So we have two major questions in this pasuk, and all commentaries speak about it. I want to give one explanation. It's not the known and famous, but it's very, very powerful. Paro was not just a king who was wicked, who denied the existence of Hashem and did not want to obey to him. Paro was the opposite of Moshe Rabbeinu. While Moshe Rabbeinu was the epitome of greatness, holiness, closeness to Hashem, Paro was the exact opposite. The epitome of impurity, of stubbornness, of denial. And Moshe did not want to go to him. Because when you go to a place that is very, very impure, you might be affected. After all, what you deal with is impurity. Our sages give the famous analogy that when you go into a place where there is a very bad odor, you come out and there is a smell from you too. If you go to a store of perfumes or flowers that have an unbelievable fragrance, you come out, it's attached to you as well to a certain extent. So Moshe was afraid that if he is going to Paro, he will be affected. And it's a rightful worry. It's a very rightful worry. A person that is going to, let's say, teach prisoners who made major crimes and try to elevate them, teach them, change them, should do it very carefully. Yeah, should strengthen himself a lot before he goes, because he's coming to a place of impurity. And the same way that hopefully they will be influenced by him, there is a fear that to a certain extent, even in fine points, he will be affected as well. So Hashem tells him, Bo el Paro, come to Paro. What is the come? I'm going with you. Don't worry. Like you say, let's go, then you say, Bo, come, right? Let's go together means come, we are going, right? I'm going with you. What does it mean? I'm going with you. Let's see what's written at the continuation of the pasuk. Bo el Paro, come to Paro with me, ki ani ichbadeti et libo. This impurity was also created by me. Meaning, in other words, this world is a world of free choice. So, what does it mean, free choice? Purity and impurity have to be balanced, otherwise, the choice is not free. So, as you can soar in greatness, one can also descend to the lowest of low. How could one deal with it and not be swallowed by it? Rather, create light out of this darkness, purity out of this impurity. If he remembers that Hashem created it, meaning it's not a substance that is real and going to stay forever, it's a temporary situation that challenges the person, enables him to grow by saying no to it, by overcoming it. The very fact that we know that this is a creation of Hashem, and it's here not because it's real, not because it's here to last, it's just supposed to test us. And when we face it, we will see great light because we invested in removing the darkness. And when we remove the darkness, Hashem helps us to see the light. So that's what Hashem told Moshe. Don't be afraid of all the darkness that you see. And it's a message for us too. We see a reality today that is so against the belief of Torah, so against the way of thinking that the Torah tells us we should have. A world that is immersed in the physical, a world that is immersed in the material, that people do whatever they feel like and don't accept boundaries and rules. And it could be very discouraging. Where is it leading? What will be the end? We ask many times. How can Mashiach come when this is the reality? It is really scary. And we have to understand the danger. But we have to tell ourselves, listen, Hashem created the world with this possibility, but he created the world also with as strong of a possibility for greatness. And he brought us into here because we can make it happen. The moment we think so, we are not afraid anymore. It gives us the courage and strength to go ahead and do what we need to do. Because we have to know Hashem is with us. It's not something on its own, something that has real intrinsic value. It's only a fata morgana, a mirage. It's here for the moment, it seems real. But when you get closer, you'll see it has no base, it has no foundation. It's basically nothingness. And our role is to see that it's nothing. The moment we know it's nothing, it's only an obstacle Hashem put on the way in order that we will be able to jump over and by this get higher, we have already a key to overcome it. So that's why Hashem made the heart of Pharaoh strong. He wanted to show us that yes, it could be very, very, very dark, and evil can seem to prevail. But If evil is so strong, it means we have the strength to overcome it. Otherwise, it would have been a reality without the possibility of free choice. So we shouldn't worry. We should go our way, know that Hashem is with us, and we will be successful. So we saw a few, just a few of the points that the Torah emphasizes to show us that the process of redemption that took place in Egypt takes place here too. Now, after the Jewish people left Egypt, so it seems to already darkness is gone, right? Paro himself, this person who said no, is running in the middle of the night, asking for Moshe and Aaron, and sending the Jewish people out. He wanted them to live in the middle of the night. Hashem said no. It will be daytime, so everybody will see that they didn't go out like thieves or running away. It's me who is taking them out. It's a Mayom Hazeh in the middle of this day. But this Paro is already gone. His people are gone. They were hit in 10 terrible ways. Nothing. So the Jewish people are finally out. And then what happens? Hashem tells them, go backwards. And they find themselves with the Egyptians on one side and the sea on the other. And where are they going to go? And our sages add that on both sides were wild animals. So there was no escape. Right? Why did Hashem do it? Because when we conquer darkness of one level, we grow via doing it. Hashem wants us to grow further. So he puts another obstacle in front of us. And another obstacle. And this is the meaning of the greater the person is, the greater is his bad inclination. Because the bad inclination of small people are not a challenge altogether for great people. So this is something else that can give us the courage at the time of exile. Sometimes it's a problem after a problem after a problem. Right? It seems that we resolve one thing spiritually as well. And then another test and another test. We have to welcome it. And I'm speaking spiritually. It shouldn't be physically so. If we do what we need to do spiritually, it will be only in the area of spirituality. We have to know that we are here to grow. And growth happens by facing challenges. So we will always have to overcome challenges. But when we overcome them, the satisfaction, the fulfillment, the enlightenment that comes with it is such that it makes the struggle worthwhile and welcome. Now, I want to end with something very beautiful that the Chiddushei Arim said. He says as follows: Hanisim ve'hanifla'ot shehayu, the miracles, the wonders that were in Egypt, v'she'efshar lachush et ha'aratam hayom, those miracles that we can feel the enlightenment of them today too, like the Nati of Pesach, we relive them, we feel them, we have the clarity that they gave to the Jewish people at the time. Those miracles, he says, I'm sorry, not reading the last one. No. He goes to the part in the Torah that we say three times a day in order to remember coming out of Egypt. We have two times a day. We have an obligation to remember Egypt every day, right? And our sages learn from the fact that it's written Kol Yemei Chayecha, all the days of your life, that it's day and night. The word all comes to add the night. So they made the that after Shema Israel, After we say the first two paragraphs, one accepting the yoke of Hashem upon ourselves, accepting Hashem as the king, and the second accepting the mitzvot. The third one speaks about coming out of Egypt. And the Torah says as follows, Ani Hashem Elokechem, I am Hashem your God, asher hoceiti etchem eretz Mitzrayim, who took you from the land of Egypt. So when we say it, we remember that Hashem took us out from the place of Egypt. But the paragraph repeats later on and says, Ani Hashem Elokechem, I am Hashem your God. So we have two psukim. I am Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt. I am Hashem your God. Looks like a repetition. What does it mean? So he says the following. Shekol anisim v'niflaot shayu v'itziat Mitzrayim. All the miracles and wonders that were in Mitzrayim, that the Torah refers to in the first pasuk. I am Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt. This was with wonders and miracles. Im nitzrechu, if there will be a need for it, it havu gamata. They will happen also now. It's the same way that it was then. I heard in the name of Rav Wurtzweiger, who is the Rosh Yeshiva in South Folsberg in the Catskills. He said the following, think about the intersection of missiles. It's something that we are very impressed with. And it is impressive and it's life-saving, right? But he says, this happened already in Egypt. There was hail. The hail in Egypt was huge balls of snow that contained inside a fire. What was a miracle, right? Fire and water together. And what happens in Egypt? When Hashem stopped the plague, there were balls of hail that were in the middle of the way. They stopped. He said, isn't it the interception? Here is a ball of fire. We have to remember that it's as great of a miracle. I don't know if you are aware of it, but the person suggested to work on the technology of the Iron Dome was mocked at, laughed at. So he was not taken seriously. Somehow, it was done anyhow. It was Hashem preparing the redemption before the heat, the cure before the problem. And it's like that, it was already. Nothing new. Look at Egypt. Exactly the same way. Fire, a ball of fire that stops in the middle, right? And we are saved by it, right? The same way Hashem stopped the hail in Egypt and it didn't fall back. So all the miracles that happened in Egypt are here too. They can come into reality as necessary as it was then. That's how it is now. More than this, the prophets say that the miracles that the Mashiach will come will not mention anymore the miracles of Egypt. The coming out of Egypt, yes, the fact that we were chosen as a nation, of course, but not the miracles, because it will be very insignificant in comparison to the miracles that will be when Hashem redeems us at the time of Mashiach. So when we come this year to the Seder, to Pesach, we have to know that the power of the things that took place in Egypt and the greatness of the people that took place in Egypt is in potential here too. And we have it inside us. And these days, it's easier to bring the light out of darkness. In these three times a year, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, Hashem hid potential that enables us to create light out of darkness, and our job is to access it on the holiday and to take it with us to the rest of the year. Okay, I'll stop here and I'll open to questions and answers.
Okay, I'll be brave and speak. It's I don't have
Got
such
it.
a hi. I'm sorry it looks such a mess. I just came home from rehab, so I'm a little bit of a mess. I can't do
It's
my hair
okay.
and stuff, but I wanted you to see me. So I'm sorry what you're going through. I'm sure it's very, very hard for you and everybody living there, running to their safe rooms all the time and living like that. It's a very big challenge. I don't need you to tell me. I know from other people. And so I guess it sounds like a crazy thing. Maybe because you're living through miracles more. I don't know, you're like heightening your awareness of bitachon and emunah that you have to like grab onto it with more intensity. So I'm like in my own a little bit of a complicated situation because I came home and I'm disabled and I can't work for 3 months and I'm having trouble walking and I don't know if I'm to go down three flights of steps and go to my friends for Siddharam.
What's your question?
So sorry. So my question is, and also financial things and getting disability money. It's like, it's hard for me to separate in my mind to have bitachon when I'm so stuck in all the physical things that I see.
It's a wonderful question, but I think we you'll do better if you speak about it one to one. So let's be in touch. Okay.
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 Thank
Anybody
you.
else? Sure.
It was a
Okay.
beautiful class. I didn't mean to not say that. It was
It's
very
okay. Don't worry.
inspirational.
You can say what
It was
you
very,
could
very
do better.
good. It was very inspirational. It was like basic types of things, not complicated, but reminding us
Okay.
how there are nisim in our days.
Yeah. Okay. So have all of we should have all of us, all of the Jewish nation, a happy Pesach, a kosher Pesach. We have
Amen.
still one more class tomorrow of Parsha. I want also to mention that our financial campaign, annual campaign for fundraising for the Jewish Renaissance, is taking place now. You might have gotten already the invitation. And there is a video on our website, and you'll get it on your email if you have not gotten it yet. So we would appreciate very much if you help us to be able to continue to do all that we are doing.
Rabbitson, can I ask a quick question, please?
Sure, sure.
We are clearly, and from everything that you're saying, we are clearly on the verge of something, on the threshold of something very special. That being said, Klal Yisrael has been disappointed before, and there's this certain tension, internal tension, that something great is going to happen, and if for some reason Hashem, in His wisdom, holds it back, there's the incredible disappointment that might come. And I just wanted to know if you might speak a little bit to that.
I appreciate your question very much. We are in a process. Okay? I mentioned that this process of redemption started at the beginning of exile, right? And it was basically something that took 210 years. Our exile is very long. Each generation puts some bricks for the new reality, for the third Beit HaMikdash, as we call it. When will it be exactly? We don't know. We know that we are close to it, but close could be a day, a week, a year, or 100 years. When we speak about the fact that it's the days before Mashiach, what we say is that the process that is taking place is the process of purification, of clarification, that has to take place before Mashiach. When it will be exactly, we don't know. Does it awaken the desire that Mashiach will come? Yes. But we have to understand that anticipating Mashiach means becoming ready for these times, because when
Wow.
Mashiach comes, we have no more free choice. So it's a call for growth. We are
Wow.
not sitting and waiting that Mashiach will come right now. We don't know when he will come. My mother-in-law was a Holocaust survivor. She told me that during the Holocaust, they were sure, and especially right after, that Mashiach is coming right away. Mashiach didn't come yet. But definitely the Holocaust that will take place today are steps towards it. When the process will be over, then life in this world, the way it is, cannot accomplish more.
Wow.
And this only Hashem knows. There is a famous saying that, there is a famous concept that Hashem wants to give every Jewish soul the opportunity to come to wherever it has to come. So there must be people who deserve the coming of Mashiach already now, right? But we are waiting for more to come into, right, and accomplish things. For how long? We don't know. And that's not what we have to concentrate on today, tomorrow, after tomorrow. What it is a call to be ready for those days.
Wow.
It's a call to learn from the reality, identify the challenges, work on them, and grow through, via them.
Thank you.
Is it preparation for Mashiach? Yes. But when Mashiach will come, we'll know when he comes.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Sure. Dina Rochel, please.
Yeah, just a simple question. Was the original Exodus? What day was the original Exodus on? Was it a Wednesday, Thursday? I think I was told that. I think it was a Wednesday, Thursday, like it is this year.
I think it was in the middle of the week, because if I'm not mistaken, I don't know. Let me check it for you for tomorrow, if you'll be at the class. If not, email me and I'll
Okay.
answer. Natasha,
And it
I don't
says,
want to say just from weak memory. I want to check it.
and it says in the stage one that we were redeemed in the merit of remembering our forefathers and the 70 souls, right? That's what you
That was,
said.
again,
The first
it was
stage
not.
is the remembrance of their forefathers, of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Jacob, and the 70 souls. Are we still relying on that today? Is that all we have to rely on? Is that, do we have our own
It's
merits
not
to
the
prove?
only thing, but we have all of us part of them. The DNA that they implanted is still with us, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, like Rivka, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. It's not the only thing they rely on. We have to pray, we have to do tshuva. There are many things, right? But we have the capability. We will make it. They already paved the way.
Because you said at some point Hashem will always come in. What
Right.
is it that causes Hashem to always come in at the last moment before it's almost too late?
Not always the last moment. It's the last moment of the tests that we have to go through.
I see.
Okay? For us, it's the last moment, because afterwards it's redemption. In Egypt, it's emphasized that it was the last moment, because it had to create the possibilities that wherever a Jew is, even in the lowest, he still can take himself out of it. But in other exiles, what made it last moment was that the redemption came after. But we don't know that it was the last moment. Okay. Okay, so have a happy kosher Pesach, all of us, and I'll see you tomorrow in your session.
I mean, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so
Bye.
much.
Sure.